If you'll find your place in Philippians chapter 4, we're going to read these verses again. And like I said to you before, we've spent 3 weeks on the introduction. Amen? So now we get to actually get to the message. Hallelujah. Right? And so I'm going to ask you a question today, and we're going to try to answer that question together. But if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, we're going to read the first 9 verses together. I'll read the odd verses by myself. You can join me on the even verses here in Philippians chapter 4. I'll begin. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and I beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord alway, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. All right, here we are. So we have already talked about the preparations for prayer, okay? Getting ourselves ready, prepared to pray, all right? I love what the Bible says about this topic of prayer. I've told you before that I believe that I can, God can, of course, He can do anything. But through me, that we can get 52 messages out, about prayer out of this subject. I really believe that. So we're going to see what God does with that. I don't know if He is or not. We'll see. I always try to beyond my own imaginations, follow what God wants us to do. Amen. That's always the best thing, I think. But anyways, we were reading just a few weeks ago in our Sunday school class in Genesis chapter 4, speaking about Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel. And along comes Seth, who is, if you will, Abel's replacement. And it says, and to Seth, to him also, there was born a son. And he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. This is we ask the question, what is prayer? Paul, as he's writing to the church at Philippi, the beloved, his dearly beloved, his joy and crown, he tells them to stand fast. He tells them to rejoice in the Lord. He tells them to trust in the Lord, to be careful for nothing. And then he makes the statement, in everything by prayer. So that begs the question, what is prayer? One would say, well, you know, it's just, you know, talking to God. Oh, okay. We have that verse in Genesis, right? Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord, right? We don't get out our phones, you know, and say, all right, I don't have an iPhone, but if I did, I could say, Siri, call God. Okay. Try that on your iPhone once. See what happens. Okay. who's tried that? No, nobody has. I'm shocked. I know what you're all going to do as soon as the service is over. Okay. You're going to see what happens. All right. Anyways. But here's what Mr. Webster has to say about the word prayer. In a general sense, the act of asking for a favor, and particularly with earnestness. In worship, a solemn address to the supreme being. consisting, I love this, of adoration, or an expression of our sense of God's glorious perfections, confession of our sin, supplication for mercy and forgiveness, intercession for blessings on others, and thanksgiving, or an expression of gratitude to God for his mercies and benefits. A prayer, however, may consist of a single petition, and it may be extemporaneous, written, or printed. Okay? So that's the long definition. Right? What is prayer? And honestly, and think about it, where does Mr. Webster get his definition from but from the Bible? So where are we going to get our definition from today? From the Bible. Okay? God says that we should pray. Several years ago, as I was beginning here as pastor, I believe it was maybe October, November, if I'm thinking right, of 2021, just kind of at my first anniversary, I dedicated, I think it was the four Sundays in November. Again, my memory is not the best. But I focused on the subject of prayer. And we need to understand that prayer is a thing, right? It's something we need to understand, because if we're going to in everything by prayer, we need to understand prayer. Okay? That just makes sense, right? If I tell you to go build something, you should understand it before you build it, right? If you're going to go accomplish something, we have several in here that have coached before, right? If you're going to play football, you should understand what football is. Okay? The goals, the objectives, the rules, all of those things, that's important. So, where better to find what something is than where it's found? Does that make sense to you? I know that that's a really deep statement there. It's actually pretty simple. You say, okay, Mr. Webster defined prayer as in a general sense of asking for a favor. Of whom are we asking this favor? Well, that's that divine sense that we're asking the supreme being. That's why it's important to understand that in Genesis, men began to call on the name of the Lord. Now remember, Adam was the only one that was able to walk and talk with God in the cool of the day. Because of sin, that fellowship, that opportunity was broken. What was their next choice? To call upon the name of the Lord. Where is God? Well, we know where God the Father is. He's on the throne in heaven. We know where God the Son is. He came down, right? Accomplished his task and went back up, sitting at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. He's our advocate. Remember, that's the best lawyer that money cannot buy, right? You know, it just says Jesus, right? The righteous. You know, that's a good law firm name. Amen. He's our advocate. Where's God the Holy Spirit? He's here indwelling the believer. So you understand that when we call upon the name of the Lord, when we're looking to God, all we really can do is look up. Right? I mean, we pray to God, we make intercession, if you will. We are trying to ask for something. It's an expression of our senses, of our emotions, of our being to God. Okay? So, as we think about this, in everything by prayer, in other words, in everything, ask God. Couldn't that be kind of a simplification of the statement? You say, what is everything? Well, if we're talking about bagels, it's the little seeds and the garlic powder and the onion, right? How many of you, I like a good everything bagel, right? Yeah. Toasted dark and then covered with about an inch of cream cheese. That's how I like it. You know, they give you those little packets of cream cheese. I need three for a bagel, you know, or if I'm getting if I have the brick, a quarter of a brick, okay, per bagel. So a brick will last me, that's 8 ounces. So that's about, you know, we can do some simple math there. That's 2 ounces of cream cheese. You say that's too much cream cheese. Well, then you don't have to use as much. I can use all that I want to. That's an everything bagel, right? And, When people talk about everything, right? They say you've used everything but the kitchen sink, right? That's a term. So everything. It's kind of like that word all. Doesn't it mean all? Oh. But Pastor, there are some things in life that we don't need to pray for. We don't need to ask God, we got this. Come on now. I'm just trying to be real with you today. Do we really understand in everything by asking God? You see, you're changing the Bible. I'm not changing the Bible. I'm trying to help us understand what we're dealing with. I'm a father, you know that. If you don't know that, I'm qualified. Okay, I have met the minimum requirements of being a father. All right, I think about to be 13 times is a good qualification. Is everybody okay with that? Am I qualified enough? I'm probably overqualified. To be a father, so one of the things that I've had to ingrain in my children is ask us. Ask us. Well, I thought you wanted. No, I thought you wanted. I'm the father. I'm the supreme dictator for life. Okay? And nobody died and made you the father. So I'm the father. Okay? Fathers, you've never dealt with that, have you? Nobody has. Brother Dark never has, right? And you know, hey, I just want you to ask. Well, but we always do this. Well, maybe this time I don't want to. I'm the father. I have that prerogative, don't I? But just ask. And you know what? That's one of the hardest things for my kids to do. Hello, everybody. That's one of the hardest things for us to do. Why? We're independent. We're self-centered. We're selfish. We're proud. We don't, well, I don't want to bother God. Huh? No. In everything by prayer. So, you understand that in life, and in as much as I hate English, you know that, but can is ability, may is permission. You understand the difference between those two things, okay, right? People say, can I go to the bathroom? And I just say, I hope you can. I hope you have that ability, right? No, it's you're supposed to be asking permission, right? May I? In everything, ask God. Do we know the end of all things? Do we know the means to the end of all things? We don't. He does. Everything here is orchestrated by God. God has the plan. He has the knowledge. He has the wisdom. You can go back and read Proverbs chapter 8. Wisdom is with God from the beginning. Men are supposed to cry out for wisdom, right? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, right? Who giveth to men That's what God wants. He says, ask and ye shall receive, right? Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be. What is that? That's all of that is going to God for everything. So this thing of prayer is something that we need to understand. It's not just, and I really hate to do this, but it's really kind of how prayer has become for our society today. It's not just good God, good meat, good Lord, let's eat. It's not that. People have really reduced prayer to just a thing to do. It's not just a thing to do. And here's the other thing, too, about asking. A lot of times, we'll ask already having our plans in place. You know, in the pastoral confines, and thankfully I have not experienced this yet, and I'm hoping I never do, but also understanding that I probably will. People come to you and they, hey, pastor, can I talk to you about something? Well, sure. And then they come in here, they come into the office and they say, I feel like God is moving us to do this. Okay, when really they've never asked God at all about it. It's just what they want to do. And it's like, well, and all they really want to do is they want to justify to the pastor why they're making this decision. And again, thankfully, I've not had to deal with that. I'm so thankful for that. But what do you have going on when you go to ask God for this or for that? You say, well, I want it this way. Well, what about how God wants it? What if He doesn't want it that way? Well, this is my idea. Well, okay, that's your idea, but what is God's idea? So if you go into the thing already knowing what you're going to decide, why even ask? And if you will, why even waste God's time? In everything by prayer and supplication, He does say, "Let your with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." So but a request is different than a decision. He doesn't say, let your decisions be made known unto God, right? Let your plans and things be made known to God. No, He says, let your requests. God, I would like this if it's okay with You. If it's Your will, if it's Your purpose, what did Jesus say? He made a request there in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? He said, hey, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me, right? Not as I will, but as Thou wilt. So he said, look, this is my request, but ultimately it's what God wants. And being Jesus, being God, He knew what God wanted. Folks, do we know what God wants? Mostly, yes. Okay? If you let this book be your guide, if you let the Holy Spirit that indwells the believer be your guide, you do already kind of know what God wants. Just like my kids kind of already know what I want. But they're trying to say, well, but could you do this instead? Well, we're all like that, aren't we? We want our way. We want our will done, our desires met, it's all about us. But when we come to God, prayer should be all about Him. You say, how do you know these things? And how did Mr. Webster understand that in worship, it's a solemn address to the Supreme Being, consisting of adoration or an expression of a sense of God's glorious perfection? What is that? Where does that come from? It comes from the Bible. Now, in a few times from now, we're going to talk about the model prayer. You know how much I don't like the word Lord's Prayer. Okay, that's a kind of a religious term because it's not the Lord's Prayer. It is a model prayer. He said, after this manner, pray ye. Okay, so you understand that He's giving us the elements of prayer. So that's where Mr. Webster gets his ideas from. The first thing about prayer is that we're to adore God. We're to worship God. We're to express God's, express our sense of God's glory. I've talked about this many times as I've many times described what it is to pray. And we are entering the throne room of God Almighty. If you want an expression or an idea or an illustration of God's throne, just go read Revelation. Okay, John does a great job of expressing and detailing what it's like to be in the presence of God's throne. It's an amazing experience. By the way, it's a humbling experience. Remember in Chronicles, when Solomon is speaking, he talks about the people of God and how they're supposed to behave themselves. And he says this, if my people, or God says this rather, if my people, which are called by my name, shall do what? Humble themselves and pray. I believe that's one of the keys to what we're talking about today of what is prayer. To humble oneself is to set ourselves aside. And to magnify or elevate God. It's that not my will, but thine be done. When we come before God in His presence and we humble ourselves and pray, when we, like those men of old in the book of Genesis, began to call upon the name of the Lord, it is not just a flippant thing. It is not just a casual thing. And let me just say this. Our secular world has done much to reduce this to nothing. You're not just praying to the man upstairs. What a disgrace that term is. Ladies and gentlemen, he's not the man upstairs. He's almighty, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. He's not your buddy. He's not, hey God, what's going on? No, it's not that. I like what Mr. Webster said. It is a solemn address to the Supreme Being. Folks, this thing of prayer is special. It's real. And it's for everything. You see, you're really emphasizing this simplistic view and this simplistic idea. Yes, because none of us have gotten it. We don't get it. We don't really. If we really understood prayer, then boy, would life be something special. And maybe you have gotten a hold of this. If you have, you should just be shouting me down, amening. I mean, that's how it should be. Because you'll understand that we haven't even grasped as human beings this simple idea of addressing God in everything. Ask God in everything. Address God in everything. Approach God, signifying and understanding of His glory, that we get it. Make your requests being made known unto God. I've often talked about what it would be like. None of us really understand this because we don't have this kind of a system anymore. What it would be like to be an Esther and enter into the throne room, knowing that if that scepter was not held out to her, she would die. You understand? We read the story, right, in the Bible. We read that account. But do we really get it? Her life was on the line. And Mordecai, her uncle, had to tell her, hey, You've been put here for such a time as this. Folks, we're in this day and this time, and this is the life that we have. Are we willing to go to that throne room with that kind of reverence and that kind of understanding, knowing that we're going before God Almighty? That's why the verse in the Bible that says that we should boldly enter the throne of grace. He says, I don't want you to be afraid. And besides that, boldly is not brashly. We don't walk in like we own the place. He just says, look, walk in like you know you're supposed to be there. I'm holding out the scepter. You can come into my presence. But remember, it's still his presence. I mean, we ought to maybe just kind of be like this and just, you know, we're low and humbled and bent down and we should maybe even not really even look his direction, because that's how special God is. That's how amazing God is. Hey, I need that thing. Well, I really don't need it, I suppose. But what is our attitude toward God? The devil wants nothing more than to make this just a casual book, make prayer a casual thing, make the knowledge of God or the idea of God a casual thing that, well, we can take it or leave it. No, we can't. We need it. It is an everything thing. It is something that's necessary and important and vital to our very existence. Yet prayer is one of the least thought of things in the Christian life. Let's look at some examples in Scripture. 2 Samuel chapter 7. King David is recorded to be praying here. We'll begin in verse 18 if you'd like to look there. If not, you can just listen. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, beginning in verse 18, the Bible says, then went King David in and sat before the Lord. And he said, who am I, O Lord God? Now, I like this. This is the attitude here of prayer. This is what we need in our lives. Who am I? That's why I love the verse in the Bible that says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? I mean, really, what are we? We are but dust. We are nothing compared to the almighty supreme being of the universe. I mean, what an attitude. He says, and what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? And this was yet a small thing in thy sight, O Lord God. But thou hast spoken also of thy servant's house for a great while to come. And is this the manner of man, O Lord God? And what can David say more unto thee? For thou, Lord God, knowest thy servant. For thy word's sake, according to thine own heart, hast thou done all these great things to make thy servant know them? Wherefore, thou art great, O Lord God, for there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And what one nation in the earth is like thy people, even like Israel, whom God went to redeem for a people to himself, and to make him a name, and to do for you great things and terrible, for thy land before thy people, which thou redeemest to thee from Egypt, from the nations and their gods. For thou hast confirmed to thyself thy people Israel to be a people unto thee forever. And thou, Lord, art become their God. And now, O Lord God, the word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house, establish it forever, and do as thou hast said. And let thy name
be magnified forever, saying, the Lord of hosts is the God over Israel. And let the house of thy servant David be established before thee. For thou, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, hast revealed to thy servant, saying, I will build thee an house. Therefore hath thy servant found in his heart to pray this prayer unto thee. And now, O Lord God, thou art that God, and thy words be true, and thou hast promised this goodness unto thy servant. Therefore now let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may continue forever before thee. For thou, O Lord God, hast spoken it, and with thy blessing let the house of thy servant be blessed forever. Now that's amazing. Do you see what prayer is all about here as David is speaking to his God? It's all about God. It's not about David. And even the things that are about David and his house are not about David. They're about David so that David could be prospered, so that God could be prospered. I've often said that when we ask for things, we ought not to ask for things that would be satisfying unto ourselves, but satisfying unto ourselves so that we can satisfy God. Blessings that can be bestowed upon us, not to bless ourselves, so that we can bless God. Not things that we need to be increased, so not so that we can increase ourselves, but so that we can increase God. Do you understand the motive and motivation for prayer? You say, but I need this. Yes, but to what end? God needs his servants to be strong servants. Why? So they can benefit God. So yes, he wants us to have health and peace and abundance, not to consume upon our own lust. We learned that in James. But so that we can consume it, furthering the kingdom of God. Why do we need health? So we can go hand out a gospel tract. Why do we need mobility and strength? So that we can be a witness of Jesus Christ. Why do we need money? So we can give it to the Lord. Oh, I don't have any. I got a bunch of receipts. Well, no, we don't. I don't need money to hoard for myself. I don't need money for myself. I need money so that I can give unto the Lord. Well, why would we even come before the presence of God? So we can praise and worship and glorify God. And even in the things that we ask for instance, the forgiveness of our sins, does that benefit us? Yes. To what end? To the benefit of God. Asking God for our daily food benefits us. To what end? So that we can benefit God. Safety and deliverance from evil. Does it benefit us? Yes. But to what end? So we can serve God as a faithful soldier of Jesus Christ. In everything by prayer. It's not about us. It's about us so that we can be for God what we need to be. I know that sounds strange. And you say, but it doesn't make any sense. Okay, fine. It doesn't make any sense to you. But it does. Because it's about God. It's an address to a supreme being. It is in everything by prayer. God wants us to make these requests known unto him. He wants to be a benevolent God to his people, because when God is benevolent to us, and if you will, able to be benevolent to us, it benefits God. Who wants to have a kingdom full of miserable servants? Weak servants. Grumbling, complaining, whining, crybaby servants. Who wants to be that king? Nobody. What does a king want? Happy servants, contented servants, healthy servants, active servants, abundant servants. Why? Because that means the king is all of those things too. You know, everything rises and falls on leadership, right? Yeah. And so we need to make sure that we understand this is what what was in David's words? It was all about God. O Lord God, O Lord of hosts, O Lord God, thou art that God. I love that statement. Wonderful statement. Turn over a few books. Well, actually just one book of the Bible. 1 Kings chapter 8. This is also found in Chronicles. It's Solomon's address to the Lord. As they now have built the temple. Remember, that was what David wanted to do. Could not. In chapter 8, verses 22, beginning in verse 22, Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands toward heaven. You understand that Solomon learned something from his father. He knew that this was a solemn address to God, this thing of prayer. So David prays this magnificent prayer. It's a foundational example for us to follow. And he said, therefore hath thy servant found in his heart to pray this prayer unto thee. That's the attitude we need to have before God. Solomon understood that. And Solomon did walk in the ways of his father for a lot of his life. But listen to what he says. And he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven above or on earth beneath, who keepest covenant and mercy with thy servants that walk before thee with all their heart, who hast kept with thy servant David, my father, that thou promised him, for thou spake also with thy mouth and hast fulfilled it with thine hand as it is this day. Therefore now, Lord God of Israel, keep with thy servant David, my father, that thou promised him, saying, there shall not fail thee a man in my sight to sit on the throne of Israel, so that thy children take heed to their way, that they walk before me as thou hast walked before me. And now, O God of Israel, let thy word, I pray thee, be verified, which thou speakest unto thy servant David, my father. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have builded. Yet have thou respect unto the prayer of thy servant and to his supplication, O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and to the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee today. What's Solomon doing? He's addressing God Almighty. It's a solemn address to the Supreme Being. He says, God, let it be according to thy word. Let it be according to thy will. Let it be according to what you want. He said, let me make this request based upon what you have said, what you have promised, what you have wanted. Isn't that how we need to be in our lives, folks? We need to make our requests according to what God wants, not what we want. I love how it says in Scripture that if we ask anything in His name, what does that mean? That means we're in tune with Him. That means we're in fellowship with Him. And if we're in fellowship with Him, His desires become our desires. And His wants become our wants. And His ways become our ways. And His thoughts become our thoughts. Because we're supposed to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. We're supposed to be like Him, think like Him, act like Him. That's how it's supposed to be. And when that's true, then we're doing things the way He wants. That's one of the things I try to get my children to understand. Look, you may have your own ideas, you may have your own thoughts, but this is my house and it's my way. And for them to come around that way, and to recently I've had a discussion with one of them, and they said, well, I do accept your ways. No, you don't, because if you did, you'd do it my way and be happy about it. But see, we tolerate God's way. We don't accept them. You know what acceptance is? It's a replacement. We no longer have our ways. We have taken on His ways. That's acceptance. When we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, that means there's no other Savior. I'm not saving me. Religion's not saving me. Works are not saving me. Jesus Christ is saving me. It's a replacement. We need to accept what God wants. Solomon has accepted God. He's praying. David accepted God. He's praying to God. He says, God, let it be as Thou hast spoken it to be. He says, that Thine eyes may be opened toward this house day, night and day, even toward the place of which Thou hast said, My name shall be there, that Thou mayest hearken unto the prayer which Thy servant shall make toward this place. And hearken Thou to the supplication of Thy servant and to Thy people Israel, when they pray toward this place, and hear Thou in heaven Thy dwelling place, when Thou hearest, forgive. He goes on many verses here, all the way to verse 54. He's talking about this, but he's saying, God, let it be how You have said it should be. And that was Solomon's prayer. And that was David's prayer. Folks, this book is full of things, how God wants things to be. How dare we pray our own will when God's will is here? In everything by prayer. As we learn about this thing of prayer, we need to focus on those who have prayed. Psalm 5, David says, Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto Thee will I pray. My voice shalt Thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto Thee and will look up. In Psalm 65, David says, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. In Psalm 69, he says, They that sit at the gate speak against me, and I was the song of drunkards. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord. In an acceptable time, O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me in the truth of thy salvation. We've talked about Elijah. We've talked about Daniel, and I'll bring those up later because I don't have time anymore today. But I hope you understand that God wants us to pray. And He wants us to understand what prayer is. He is the God that heareth prayer. He is the one that all flesh should come, to whom all flesh should come. In Matthew 17, remember the young man that had this devil and couldn't be healed by the disciples. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation. You know what perversion is, right? It's the opposite of what things are supposed to be. Of how things are supposed to be. That's perversion. So, he says they're faithless. He says they're perverse. That means they're not doing it right. They're doing it their way, not God's way. They don't have faith. He says, How long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, Ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. You see, well, I believe that these guys really wanted this devil to come out of this child. But yes, to whose glory? And to whose credit? It was faithless and perverse. That's what Jesus said. It wasn't done the right way. Just like prayer today is not done the right way. We need to pay attention to the Bible way to pray. Let me just reference this as I close this morning. In Luke chapter 11 and also over in Matthew chapter 6, and we'll talk about that to great extent in the days to come. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, we're going to use that a lot as we move forward here. The example of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, who else is there to look to really about prayer than God praying to God? I mean, I can't think of a finer example, can you? He was praying in a certain place. He was addressing the solemn, sovereign, most high being in a certain place. When he ceased, he stopped praying. One of his disciples said unto him, and this is amazing. This is what our attitude should be. Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. We need to learn how to pray. And it begins with understanding what prayer is. If you want, you can go read in 1 Kings 18, Elijah's example of prayer. You can go to Daniel chapter 9 and read about Daniel's example of prayer. Of course, all throughout the New Testament, you can read about Jesus and the disciples and their ways and things of prayer. But can I tell you something, folks? We need to understand prayer. We need to learn what prayer is. It's coming before God. It's asking God, not what we want, but what He wants. What He has said. God, accomplish what You have purposed in my life. We know Romans 8:28. What about it? Is it according to His purpose or not? Do all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose or not? It goes with what we've been talking about. Standing fast in the Lord. Rejoicing in the Lord. Trusting in the Lord. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer.